Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Investing in USI, Financial History Understanding the Past to Forecast the Future by Mark J. Higgins CFA CFB is a finance and economic history book that connects more than two centuries of American market development to modern investment decision-making. The book traces the evolution of the USS financial system from Alexander Hamilton's early federal financial programs in 1790 to the Federal Reserve's struggle with inflation in the early 2020s. Its purpose is not simply to recount events, but to show how recurring forces such as inflation, credit expansion, financial crises, fiscal policy, productivity, speculation, and institutional reform have repeatedly shaped securities markets and investor outcomes. Higgins writes from the perspective of an institutional investment advisor rather than a purely academic historian, which gives the book a practical orientation. It is designed for investment professionals, students, policymakers, trustees, and individual investors who want historical context for interpreting financial risks that often seem new but have recognizable precedents. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the U.S. financial system as a sequence of institutional adaptations. A central contribution of the book is its treatment of U.S. financial history as an evolving system rather than a disconnected sequence of market episodes. By beginning with Alexander Hamilton's financial programs, Higgins places modern markets within the long development of public credit, banking structures, capital markets, monetary authority, and federal fiscal capacity. This matters because investors often focus on recent prices, rates, and economic data without seeing the institutional architecture that makes those signals meaningful. The book emphasizes that markets do not operate in a vacuum. They are shaped by rules, central bank powers, government borrowing practices, financial intermediaries, and public trust in the monetary and credit system. This framing helps explain why the same economic shock can have different consequences in different eras. A banking panic before deposit insurance, a credit crisis after the creation of the Federal Reserve, and a post-war inflation under modern monetary institutions are not identical events, even when they share visible symptoms. The practical implication is that historical comparison requires attention to both patterns and structure. Investors can learn from the past, but only by understanding the institutions through which economic pressures were transmitted. Secondly, long financial memory as a corrective to recency bias. The book repeatedly challenges the tendency of investors to treat their own lived experience as sufficient evidence for decision-making. Higgins argues that this creates a narrow memory window, especially in markets where major cycles can unfold over decades. An investor whose adult experience occurred during falling interest rates, low inflation, or rising equity valuations may mistake those conditions for normality. Conversely, a generation shaped by stagflation or depression may overestimate the likelihood of similar outcomes. The book uses U.S. financial history to lengthen that memory window and make recurring patterns more visible. This is not a claim that history repeats mechanically. Rather, it suggests that investor behavior, leverage, policy mistakes, speculative enthusiasm, and institutional weakness tend to reappear in altered forms. The benefit of this approach is analytical humility. If few financial events are truly unprecedented, then the first task is not to declare novelty, but to search for analogs while noting differences. This makes historical study a risk management tool. It helps investors resist market narratives that depend on the assumption that current conditions have permanently escaped earlier constraints. Thirdly, inflation is a persistent policy and investment risk. Inflation receives special attention because it affects both economic stability and portfolio outcomes. Higgins highlights earlier inflationary episodes, including the post-Great Influenza and post-World War I inflation around 1912-1920, and the Great Inflation from the mid-1960s to the early 1980s. As useful reference points for interpreting more recent price instability, the significance of these examples lies in their warning against assuming that inflation is automatically brief or harmless. Inflation can begin with supply disruptions, wartime or pandemic aftereffects, fiscal pressures, or overly accommodative policy, but it becomes more dangerous when expectations adjust and policymakers respond too slowly. For investors, the issue is not only higher consumer prices. Inflation can alter real returns, compress valuation multiples, increase interest rate volatility, damage fixed income portfolios, and force central banks into restrictive policies that raise recession risk. The book, therefore, treats inflation as a historical process rather than a single data series. Its investment lesson is that inflation should be evaluated through precedent, policy credibility, labor and supply conditions, and fiscal context. Such analysis is more useful than relying on short-term assurances that price pressures will fade without consequence. Fourthly, financial crises as recurring failures of leverage, liquidity, and confidence. Another major theme is the recurring structure of financial crises. Across U.S. history, crises have often involved excessive credit creation, optimistic asset pricing, maturity mismatches, weak risk controls, and a sudden loss of confidence. Higgins uses the long historical record to show why crises can spread beyond the original source of stress. When borrowers, lenders, and investors all assume that liquidity will remain available, they build fragile positions. Once confidence breaks, forced selling, credit contraction, and institutional distress can amplify the original shock. The book also stresses the danger of deep depressions, which occur when financial disruption damages the broader economy through collapsing credit, falling demand, and impaired balance sheets. This perspective is valuable because it connects market history to policy design. Central banks, fiscal authorities, bank regulators, and lender of last resort mechanisms emerge partly in response to repeated breakdowns. Yet the existence of safeguards does not eliminate crisis risk. It changes its form. For investors, the historical lesson is to watch leverage, liquidity promises, valuation discipline, and the quality of financial intermediation. Crises are rarely caused by a single surprise. They are usually the result of vulnerabilities that become visible only after conditions tighten. Lastly, modern investment choices viewed through historical evidence. Although the book is broad historical analysis, it also has clear implications for contemporary portfolio decisions. Higgins writes from an institutional investment perspective, so the history is often connected to how investors evaluate risk, diversification, fees, asset class claims, and long horizon returns. The book gives attention to the history of index funds and the appeal of evidence-based investing, particularly as a contrast to strategies that depend on forecasting skill, manager selection, or speculative narratives. This does not reduce financial history to a simple endorsement of one product type. Rather, it shows why investors should distrust claims that ignore long records of market behavior. The same historical perspective is relevant to alternative assets and private market structures, where valuation opacity, liquidity constraints, and optimistic return narratives can become especially important late in speculative cycles. The book also links investment outcomes to broader macroeconomic threats, including persistent fiscal deficits and slowing productivity growth. These forces matter because they influence interest rates, public debt sustainability, corporate earnings potential, and the long-term capacity of the economy to support market returns. History becomes a framework for testing whether modern investment promises are plausible. In conclusion, investing in U.S. financial history is best suited for readers who want more than a standard market history or a narrow investment manual. Investment professionals can use it as a contextual reference for understanding crises, inflation regimes, policy shifts, and speculative cycles. Business students and academics can benefit from its integrated view of finance, economics, and institutions. Policymakers may find value in its emphasis on historical analogs for inflation control, financial stability, and fiscal discipline. Individual investors and trustees can use it to develop a more skeptical and evidence-based approach to portfolio decisions, especially when confronted with confident claims about new market eras. The book stands out in its category because it attempts to compress the full arc of U.S. financial development into a single accessible volume, while keeping the focus on practical interpretation. Many financial history books concentrate on one crisis, one institution, one market, or one policy period. Higgins instead connects the founding financial architecture of the United States to modern concerns such as central bank credibility, index investing, alternative assets, public debt, and productivity. Its distinguishing value is the bridge it builds between historical knowledge and investment judgment. Readers should not expect a formula for forecasting markets, but they can expect a stronger framework for recognizing when present conditions resemble earlier episodes and when structural differences require caution. If you would like to support Mark J. Higgins CFA CFP, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.